Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hannifan. I am off the road, man. Not much. What's going on with you? How's life been treating you? You ready for this regular season come the 23rd of October?
Yeah, I mean, just about a week away from the Heat's first regular season game. I'm at the point in the preseason where I'm just ready for the regular season to start. Like watching, you know, first couple preseason games is all cool. Like you get basketball back in your life. You're seeing how certain guys play, but then you're just like, I don't want to overreact to any of this stuff. And it's not even halfway over yet. Just get me to the regular season to where I can actually have, you know, a basis of what to analyze and whatnot. But no, man, I'm ready. I mean, college basketball season is going to be here soon too. So I'm very much looking forward to that when you and I dive into the 2025 class. But, man, I'm doing good today. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing outstanding, man. Like I said, I had a great vacation, but I'm glad to be back home. I'm, just getting into the groove. When you talk about college basketball, I keep seeing these articles and clips about exhibition schedules and all that. And I'm refreshing, like, ESPN.com and Yahoo.com for, like, the schedules. And there's nothing out. Like, I'm like, are these exhibitions scheduled? Like, can I see them? Like, dude, like I can't wait to dive into that 2025 class.
Well, the exhibitions, like those are mostly, I just someone who was, I don't want to say working in college athletics for a while, but like when I was in college doing stuff like with athletics, a lot of, you could find that stuff like on the team website. Like, I don't know if you're going to find it on ESPN or Yahoo or anything like that.
I got you. So you're saying I got to do actual work. Is that what you're saying?
Listen, I didn't want to be the bearer of bad news, but...
No, it's all good, man. It's all good. We still have some of this 2024 class to rehash, and today we're going to talk about Reed Sheppard for the Houston Rockets, the number 3 pick overall. Before we get into that, tell the people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
At MPH_824_, very complicated handle for some odd reason that I still have yet to disclose to people. VendettaSportsMedia.com, HotHoopsHoops.com, MountainWestConnection.com, where I will be doing a lot of college basketball stuff for the Mountain West Conference specifically. They don't have many 2025 draft prospects, but Nick Clifford is a guy that I'm sure Adele and I will talk about at some point. Donovan Dent, a guy from New Mexico who I certainly am very excited for to watch this upcoming season. I have high hopes for him potentially being drafted in the 2025 class. That's neither here nor there. But those are some of the places that you can find me in addition to Five Reason Sports. Watch Playback, watchplayback.tv, #5RSN, or not #5RSN, /5RSN. Don't put a hashtag in the URL. It probably won't pop up as anything worthwhile. But yeah, man, let's jump right into it.
Absolutely. And as for me, I'm your host, Digital Adele. You can find me on all the social media platforms under that moniker. Hoops Profile here for all the breakdowns. Just real quick on the breakdowns, I'm going to do the video breakdown still. So for the audience that is joining us for the podcast on YouTube under Hoops Profile, you'll be able to see me actually break down prospects, what they do well, what they need to improve on, how they get, you know, they see the game and read the game, their footwork. I do all that stuff. And then we're still going to have this podcast, the Beyond the Backboard podcast, where we talk about the actual prospects and discuss that. But if you want to watch the actual videos, they'll be on the YouTube channel. The podcast you can find on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the rest. So like you said, let's just jump into Reed Sheppard. One of my favorite players in the entire 2024 NBA draft class, outside of Stephon Castle, might be my favorite player in the entire draft. 6'2", 185-pound point guard. And I say that with all due respect to positionless basketball. Point guard is still the one position that I believe is the unicorn position, because it's more of a mentality and mindset that those players have to run that position. And Reed Sheppard is a true point guard. His vision is off the charts. His ball handling's way better than it was at Kentucky. He put in a lot of work in between the college basketball season and the NBA preseason and summer league into his handles. He still has a ways to go. He's got to still work on that, but his handles are excellent compared to where they were when he was in college. Knockdown three-point shooter, even though the stats didn't show it in summer league, you could see it in like a game by game basis. But then some games, you know, you'd have an off night, because as all young players, especially at 20 years old, his shot selection sometimes left a lot to be desired. But before I get too detailed into what I saw, what do you like about Reed Sheppard? What do you see on the film?
I mean, he was one of the best players in summer league, period. Maybe he was the best, point blank. Like, he was exceptional despite only shooting 5 of 18. And I say only because, to your point, he shot 52% in college from three-point range, which is just an absurd percentage. Like, when you look at the evaluations for different shooters across different years, like, he's one of the best, I think, Peter's shooters that we've seen or we've evaluated, like, over the last, like, maybe half decade, whatever time frame that you want to use. Like, he was an elite three-point shooter when he was at Kentucky. And again, like, to your point, like, his shot selection leaves a little bit to be desired, but I also just think that's who he is, and I think that's what's going to make him at the NBA level. It's just his three-point shot. Like, there were a couple times during summer league where I don't know why teams were doing this. Maybe it was just a miscommunication or what, but like, they were ducking under screens and he was just pulling up from, you know, 27, 28, 29 feet plus and knocking them down, or at least, you know, keeping defense honest in that perspective. I would say the one thing that I am, this was like a pre-draft thing for me, I think I've talked about with you about this off air, was not defensively, but like his size. Like, it's just my natural instinct when I look at these, you know, 6 foot, 6 foot one, 6 foot two guards. It's like, all right, how are you going to hold up defensively, especially one-on-one? And obviously he was a type of player where he's a bulldog. Like, he's tough as hell. He doesn't back down from anyone. Like, he's going to get steals. He's going to get blocks. Like, he has excellent dexterity, and, you know, like, he knows how to use his hands on that end of the floor, despite being undersized. And he's just, again, he's really tough. Like, he's willing to stick his face in your jersey. Like, he's going to be pest. He's going to be pesky on the ball. But just my natural reaction for something like this is like, all right, how are you going to hold up defensively? Like, you know, regardless of what I just said, like, teams are going to pick on. That's just the nature of basketball nowadays. Teams will hunt for switches and they'll hunt for mismatches. And they're going to see a guy, again, who's 6'1", 6'2". Even though he does have really good hands and he is really quick with that, like, teams are going to still hunt him. And so I'm just interested to see over time, like, how he picks that up and like how he adjusts to that and how he, you know, welcomes that challenge. Cause I mean, he is a competitive guy when you just watch him play. Like, he's going to be, I think over time and maybe even right away, he's going to be willing to take on that challenge. And that happened a couple times in some, where not necessarily hunting him out, but like, they'd get him on a switch and they would just go right at him. And there were times where, I mean, some reps were better than others for sure. But he's just the kind of guy where it's just like, I can't be as worried about that because of what he provides offensively, to your point, as a shooter. His playmaking was phenomenal. Like, even though, yeah, he did have a 1-to-1 assist to turnover ratio throughout summer, like, he was still exceptional. Like, there were times where, you know, like, Cam Whitmore was making cuts or guys were making cuts or whatever the case was. And the thing with him and his passing abilities, he doesn't know, like, he knows exactly the timing of passing and like which pass to throw. Like, he knows how to time a pass and get it to the player when he needs to get the ball to the player, and the right pass to make with good accuracy and good precision. Like, all that stuff matters a lot. And so those were things that I was really impressed with him. One other thing that I want to touch on that, like, again, I'm just filing it away, I'm not really concerned about it long-term, is, like, there were just a couple times where we know how explosive he is vertically. Like, he was one of the most athletic guards, one of the most athletic players in this entire draft class. But something that something that just stood out to me was the fact that there were a couple times where he was stood up off the dribble. Like, I want to see more burst on the ball from him, because I do feel like being a smaller guard, you're at a disadvantage, and you obviously want to be quick, you want to be agile. I'm not saying he isn't quick or agile, but I just wonder if, like, he does get stood up off the ball or on ball at the NBA level against some of these bigger guards, some of these wings, like, what kind of counters is he going to develop, and, like, how is that part of his game going to progress? Because I mean, I'm not worried about him on the ball, really, but that was just something that stood out. Like, there wasn't times where he was automatically getting to the rim, and there were times where his driving lanes was being cut off, or he was maybe having a more difficult time, you know, trying to get to the rim. It's just, again, you're facing the best athletes or best basketball athletes in the entire world on this stage, and some of the quickest, some of the strongest. Like, something that NBA teams are going to do is they're going to hunt your instincts. I'm not saying he has, like, any, like, you know, favorite moves that he likes to get to all the time, but, like, how are you going to develop counters for the counters just in case you aren't getting to the rim at a rate that you want to, or something like that? But that's just really nitpicky. But overall, he was, again, one of the best players in this class during the summer, and probably one of the best players, if we're being truthfully honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And so to piggyback off of that, and to pick up right where you left off, when you talk about his ability to get into the lane, I was actually impressed with his ability to get into the lane. I think he is better at that than I anticipated coming out of college. I thought he was better in the open floor, weak side shooter, coming off of screens to you know, pull the J off of that. But his ability to shoot off the bounce and get into the lane, shoot those floaters, get all the way to the rim and finish over length and take contact. I mean, he was 50% in four games from the paint, you know, from field goal percentage. As a guard, a 6'2 guard. So I get what you mean, like, against elite defense, like, on ball. But I think in today's NBA, with a lot of the spacing, and especially with him not being the primary ball handler all the time for Houston, I think he'll be able to develop a lot of that. But he won't need it right away, because he's going to have a lot of times where people are closing out hard to him as the ball is getting swung. And he's also very smart, so he's going to be able to time his cuts. If somebody's pressing up, he'll be able to fake go back door. So I don't anticipate it being as big of an issue. Now, if he shot, like, in the low 40s or like 30s from the field, then it would have been a problem. Like, the length is bothering him. The physicality is bothering him once he gets into the lane. But he shot a significantly, you know, high percentage for a guard for his first action right out of college. And if you look at, like, the advanced stats, I mean, his usage was like 26% in summer league. He was on ball the whole time. So that's going to definitely decline. You know, when you have Jalen Green, you've got my man Fred Van Fleet, and then you have, you know, all the other ball handlers, like, call, you know, Whitmore's going to handle. He's not passing nobody. But we talked about that a little bit off air, and just the plethora of athletes that they have, you know, there in Houston. Şengün actually handles the ball quite a bit and makes a lot of decisions out of the pivot. So I think it's going to be less of an issue on a team like this. And one of the big things that you hit on was his point of attack defense. He is a bulldog, but in summer league, he was having a hard time staying in front of people, but he makes up for it with his quick hands, deflections, even just body positioning to be able to get blocks. Because he averaged a block, almost a block and a half a game in summer league, and 2.75 steals per game. Like, that's outstanding. Outstanding work by a rookie. And almost 5 rebounds. Like, you're filling up every piece of the stat sheet. And let's not forget, in college, he was like a 90% free throw shooter. So once he does get fouled, I mean, he's going to be able to knock him down. So I'm not worried about those things, so to speak. And I don't think you were overly concerned about it. Like you said, just something to keep an eye on, see where he progresses. One of his things that I noticed that he loves to go right and shoot coming off that right hand dribble drive. When he goes left, he likes to get all the way to the rim or get into that little float game. So one of the counters I'd like to see him develop, to your point, is to make those left to right crossovers, get the defender scrambling and retreating into the lane, and then step back into that jumper, because he's a good enough shooter to be able to do that. And that'll really be able to keep the defense off balance once he starts working on those things. But all that stuff will come. I don't think we're really going to have a big issue in regards to that. Let me ask you this in terms of Reed, because he's so advanced. You know, everybody was poo-pooing this draft class like it was, you know, the worst draft class in NBA history. And what we found after our deep dive is that there were some really high quality players, some potential all-star players like Reed Sheppard, like Stephon Castle. With Fred VanVleet being there in Houston, with Jalen Green and those glut of guards, and them liking to play kind of small ball, because Jabari is really a small ball four. I mean, technically really a big wing. And then Şengün. Where does he get his minutes in Houston? Do you think he gets them right away in that second unit?
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I think he gets it right now. Because I just think like he's too advanced, I think, offensively for you to not play him at least 15, 20 minutes a night. And I think considering what he brings to the floor with his 3-point shooting, with his playmaking, with his behind, like those are things that Houston was deficient in last season. So I think he's going to see minutes right away. I think like he'll be a complimentary guard next to like a guy like Amen Thompson off the bench. Like I that's where I think he's at right now. And he could potentially play his way up into the starting lineup if there's an injury that happens, or if he's just playing really, really well. But no, I do think he gets minutes right away.
Amen Thompson's my guy, man. Him and his brother, Ashore, man. I love those two guys coming out of last year's draft class. I mean, not last year's.
Even though they couldn't shoot.
Previous years. No, they couldn't. But I do like, and not to get back on the 2023 class, I really liked Ashore's leadership, and I liked Amen's athleticism better, like his athletic, even though they're very similar. Like their stats are nearly identical. They're identical twins. Their stats are nearly identical. Ashore had the better jump shot, in my opinion, and he had the better leadership attributes. Amen's the better athlete. But getting back to Reed, I'm a little, I don't know about skeptical, but they have Dylan Brooks on that team. They've got Aaron Holiday on that team. And they have, like you said, MN, he's going to do some ball handling, and Cam Whitmore. That's a lot of guards, man. It's a lot of guards.
Are you sure you would play Aaron Holiday over him in this day and age?
I definitely would not. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's a lot of guards that have NBA experience already. So I think he could definitely get minutes. I personally would give minutes there, but at the same time, they have a lot of wings and ball handlers and like in between players that are going to be coming off that bench. So I just wonder how many minutes he's going to get early. I personally would give him quite a bit. The way they played him in the summer league and the way they played him in preseason, it looks like he has a role already. I know you didn't watch a lot of preseason Rockets, but I watched a couple of games of theirs, and he was in that second unit every time. So I think he brings a lot to the table. I think that he's NBA ready. I forgot Steven Adams is over there now. Rockets might be pretty good this year.
Oh yeah.
They might be pretty good, because that bench is deep. Adams, Şengün, Jalen Green, VanVleet. Watch out for the Rockets. But anyway, yeah, that's what I think about Reed Sheppard. I think he's going to have a role right away. I think he's an excellent player. Probably my second favorite player in the entire draft. I forget where I had him on my big board. I can't really recall. But I know he was in the top three. I know it was Castle.
I was going to say you had Castle one.
Absolutely. That kid's outstanding. That's for another episode. It's coming up soon. Don't forget to tune into that. Like and subscribe. You can find us.
No, go on.
No, I was just trolling. I was going to keep going. But go ahead.
Something else that I wanted to add on what you said earlier, like, you talked about his finishing and his touch. Like, that was something, when he did get to the lane, I was very impressed with. Like, he has the lift vertically to shoot over some of these bigger guys just because of how athletic he is. But the thing with that is, like, he has really good touch and he has really good balance when he's finishing around the rim, especially when he pulls up with that floater of his. Like, that was something that I was really impressed with. And, like, obviously, again, considering he's a small guard, I have just inherent questions about, you know, how that stuff will translate from college to the NBA. Because obviously the discrepancy of talent, the discrepancy of athleticism, all that stuff, like, it's a big gap.
Rob Dillingham.
Even in summer league, that was just something that I really stood out. That really stood out to me.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things that if you don't have that as a small guard, it's going to be very difficult for you to succeed in the NBA. Right. I mean, again, we talked about it with Rob Dillingham. Like, he's historically small for a guard. And so far through summer league and preseason, I'm not completely sold on that because, again, he doesn't have that superb touch around the rim. And where's he going to get his shots from? That's the one thing, too, about Reed. Reed knows where to get his shots. The times where I saw him get in trouble is when he's on ball a ton and he starts trying to snake the dribble. He doesn't protect it in traffic as well as he needs to be. And right. He'll get back tapped or he'll, you know, these athletes in the NBA, their arms are long, man. You can't be playing around in the lane. You either got to go or you got to just kick it out and keep the ball moving. That's where he was getting a lot of his turnovers. Cause he averaged like 4.5 turnovers per game in summer league. Again, you're playing with people you're probably not going to play with on the big club. You're playing with people you've never played with before, so turnovers are going to happen, especially with like a 26-27% usage rate as a rookie. But yeah, that touch is amazing, and it's definitely necessary and needed for him to play as much as we anticipate he's going to play.
Right, and he's on a team that it works. He's a malleable player. Like, he can play off ball with Fred, with Jalen Green, with some of these guys who are going to be handling the ball a lot. Like, he can play off ball, but he can also play on ball. Like, that's the thing that makes him such a tantalizing prospect, in addition to his shooting, in addition to play, like, all that stuff. But, like, he was one of the more valuable players at the top of the class, and I think that's something that Houston, especially considering what they needed heading into the offseason, it just made it such a perfect fit.
Absolutely. And one thing with that young team is they're going to want to run, and he's great at kicking the ball ahead. He is not selfish in the way that he has to pound the ball up the floor. He will move it and advance it with the pass. He's got excellent vision to do that. And like you said, he just fits in all the different types of lineups that they're going to have. So yeah, I really like him. I really like where he fits with that team. I just think that he's one of the best players in that draft. And I think the class as a whole is a lot better than the original assessment that people gave it.
Too young.
That's all right, man. You just made me feel old. It's cool. No, man, it's all good. But we're going to get out of here on that note. Let us know what you think in the comments down below. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Before we get out of here, Matt, where can they find you, follow you, and get more of your work one last time?
HotHotHoops.com, Miami Heat blog, VendettaSportsMedia.com, MountainWestConnection.com, WatchPillyback.tv/5RSN. I almost said hashtag again. I got to stop doing that. You're not going to get anything if you put a hashtag in the URL. I promise.
You might get an error page.
Yeah, you might get an error page. I will not be on that page. But anyways, yeah, man, I'm all over the place doing a lot of stuff for a lot of different people. At NPH_824_, where you can find me on Twitter. Yeah, man, thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for being on. We appreciate you. Your wealth of knowledge for the young man that you are for making me feel old. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, you can find me at Digital Adele or any of your social media platforms at Digital Adele. You can find the video version of this podcast and the basketball breakdowns at Hoops Profile. Podcast is Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard. Anywhere you can find podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, even on Pandora, which I didn't even know you could get podcasts on Pandora. But it's all over the place. Amazon Music. Don't forget to like and subscribe. I'll see you next time.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.